Here we are, looking back through the files of the Bunyip for Thursday, April 4, 2024. My name is Kay. I'm one of your readers along with Jeanette. Hello, Jeanette.
Hi, Kay.
We're back again.
We are.
Back in the basement of the Gawler Civic Centre, looking out at the glimpse of blue sky and clouds and hoping, like everyone, that we will get some rain. But never mind. It's that time of the year.
It is.
Anzac Day is usually the benchmark of when we start seeding. And talking about seeding, we'll go straight into agriculture.
Yes.
With 150 years ago through the files of the Bunyip, onions. It is somewhat remarkable that this valuable article of diet, of which the Spaniards and Portuguese consume as many as we do of potatoes, has not occupied to a greater extent the attention of our ruralists. We have not space at present to enlarge on the nutritive and other qualities of this favourite plant, which is so indispensable in culinary matters, but we'll take an opportunity of doing so. So there you go, there weren't enough people growing onions.
Mm.
It's a bit like the olive industry. For years and years, yes, we were importing olive oil, and I'd think, but we've got ideal climate here to grow olives.
Adelaide City is the only city in the world, I believe, that has a cash crop within city limits, because people would come in and harvest the olives from
the olive
trees.
Yeah, yes.
But I think that happened after World War II and we got a lot of Greek and Italian immigrants.
Ah.
They were the ones coming in. There's olive trees here. Why are these stupid South Australians?
Yeah.
Taking advantage of all these olive trees.
Yep.
And I know up on Beaumont Common, that was once covered in olive
groves. Yes, yes.
And they'd just drop and be left.
Yep.
People didn't use them at all.
Yep.
So,
and yet the olive tree is one of the longest lived trees in the world. They've got olive trees going back hundreds, if not thousands of years in some places. And they're just such a beneficial, you can eat them, like I like eating them pickled and then with the stone taken out, a little pimento put in there, a little bit. Oh, yum. And then, of course, olive oil, which is just brilliant. So I go for the local product all the time. But here we go. Onions, even more basic than, as basic as olives.
When they came out, they just grew the most basic stuff, I think. I think they were so challenged by the environment here that they grew what they, essentials, and that was it.
Well, they grew, they had vines. Like the group of grapevines, because
that was because we had German immigrants.
Well, no, mine came from England.
Right,
mine were English. They came out with Duffield,
who produced some of the first wine in the colony.
Actually
Duffield.
Yes, yeah. Well, his vines came from Hagen up at Echunga, and of course Hack. My ancestor, Henry Hampton, he worked for Hack.
Yes,
as you would read in the book.
Yes, as I have read.
Came
from England.
And he had the grapevines, which he then took, obviously, grew them at home, and then the same grape my parents took to Tea Tree Gully, because it was still there, handed down, and we took it out to Port Gawler, but I think I might have lost it in the transition from the farm into Two Wells, because what I thought was the Sultana that we all loved, when it grew, it was a black grape, and it was like, oh, I think it must have been the other one. But a very nice black grape, but it wasn't what I was expecting, so I'm a bit disappointed about that. Never mind. Anyway, we needed more onions 150 years ago.
100 years ago. Scripture in the schools.
Oh.
Not even the churches themselves are agreed in the present proposals for scripture teaching in state schools. Too much is being asked for. The root cause for complaint is that thousands of children are denied the best English literature we have, from which half our style and language derives, and are simultaneously denied the incomparable moral and scriptural influence which flows from the pages of Holy Writ. Holy Writ? But there is no reason why it should be asked that the clergyman should go into the school and conduct lessons in the scripture as in some of the other states. All that is needed is a reader should be prepared containing the noblest biblical passages agreed upon by both Roman Catholic and Protestant authorities. I wonder if that include the one where God goes around killing children. I think we'll pass on that one.
Well, where God allows children to be killed. And 50 years ago, pollution crisis for South and North Para rivers. Abuse of the years has taken its toll. Hiking along the riverbanks, it was evident those assets are in danger of becoming liabilities. The North Para is relatively untouched at present. but the South Para in parts is a tangled mess of man-made and natural debris. The beauty of the area has been destroyed by gaping loam pits on the northern river flats. A closer look at the riverbank reveals piles of beer cans, paper cartons and general rubbish that has evidently bulldozed over the side. Near the butter factory, industrial waste heavily pollutes the banks and river. Just around the bend from Gawler West Ford, the water is simply a conglomerate of refuse, branches, drink containers and scum.
What about shopping trolleys?
Oh, that's added to it, isn't it?
Yes. I actually went and looked up the butter factory.
Oh, yes.
Because I've been going through Gawler Now and Then photos recently and I've seen a few of the butter factory and I really didn't know much about it. And that began in 1906 by the Taylor brothers. That's on what is now 8th Street. It was then Water Street.
Ah, right.
Which is interesting.
Yes.
And they were exporting to London. No, a very successful factory. And they closed in 1986, so that's
true. It's relatively recent, really.
8th Street.
Yes. It leads down towards the river, towards the footbridge.
Yes, it's where those townhouses are now.
Oh, really? Is that where the butter factory was?
That's where the butter factory was.
Oh, I'd love to live there.
Yes,
I think that's one of the most convenient locations, except for it's a bit far from the railway line.
Mm.
But it's just over the footbridge and it's just got your back onto the river and, it'd be lovely in there.
Yeah. Well, that's where the butter factory was. So.
Wow. Okay. And I knew that was Water Street. Mm. So it was Goose Island, isn't it?
Yes, it's Goose Island. I used to walk down that way all the time before I got my licence, when I'd walk into Gawler.
Oh,
and I still, if I walk in, it's a lovely walk.
Yeah.
I like 8th Street. It's,
and
it's got jacarandas on it.
This is a lovely, that whole little area in there is a little nutshell of a nice little enclave to live.
You don't want to be too close to Goose Island, though, because it does flood.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't think where the Mews houses are, there's a problem. They're high enough up. Okay, move on to 25 years ago. Going ahead. The uncertainty is over. Woolworths is coming to Gawler. The fresh food giant plans to open Woolworths and Big W stores at its Gawler Marketplace site off Reed Street by April 2001. Woolworths gave the green light to the development following a confidential meeting with Gawler Council. So Woolworths had been in Gawler before, and we've seen some of our earlier stories, but then for a few years there was no Woolies here and then
they built.
Yes. And I remember being very excited about that, even though I'm not, always one to be excited about developments, but we really needed just general being able to buy.
Yeah. And the Big W, I think, is a really beneficial. I had to go there because my dog loves this particular kind of soft toy, and you can't always get it. Last time I got two.
Yes.
So she finally destroyed the first one a couple of days ago, so I gave her the new one yesterday. She was so excited. Nuzzled it and licked it and bit at it and made it squeak and nuzzled it and licked at it and walked around with it. And it was like, oh, God.
It's nice when you get that reaction.
But she'll have it for about 2 months and then she'll start to tear it apart. I'll find white fluff
everywhere.
And the squeaker will have... she does it once the squeaker dies.
Ah.
She pulls it apart.
Right.
That's quite a lethal dog. 10 years ago, Light revisits Roseworthy. Light Regional Council will seek a meeting with independent MP Jeff Brock in the hope of putting the 26,000 home expansion of Roseworthy back on the state government agenda. Chief Executive Brian Carr said council hoped the meeting with Mr Brock would prompt the state government to review its decision to scale down the Roseworthy Garden Town project to a 2,000 home expansion. Well, I know there's houses going up there. I don't know about 26,000.
I don't think there are. I think they did scale it down, but there's a big development happening there.
Absolutely huge. We just wonder where all the people are coming from.
Yes.
In Mount Barker, we've got Two Wells, Riverley, just
and
houses.
Our population isn't growing that much. So, yes, I don't understand it either. But apparently there was a housing shortage.
Well, and apparently.
The cost of housing is...
Oh, it's just gone.
One of the problems is caused by Airbnb. So people are buying up houses and just keeping them as Airbnbs, and that's driving the housing shortage, apparently.
Oh, okay. So that's why they're wanting to look at some kind of taxation penalties on Airbnb.
Yes, yeah. So that's part of the problem. But, yes, I know people looking for houses at the moment, and I don't envy them.
It's
rough.
It is rough. And people looking for rental finding it even harder.
Yes.
And the rental market is so tight. So ridiculous. So, yes. Anyhow, that brings us to the end of this week's looking back through the files of the Bunyip.
Yes, it was an interesting week.
It was. Yeah. Yes. Definitely. Nothing about the weather.
No.
Only onions.
Those onions. Fascinating. Until next week, Kate.
Until then. For all light signs.